Madam Rules Chair, for what purpose?
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn sine die.
Does Senator Farmer want to object? With that objection, the Senate concurs.
Parting shot at outgoing leader of the Senate Democrats, Gary Farmer, who got ousted for Lauren Book. That's kind of a funny one. Joining us now, this is the end of session, was on Friday. Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. As a recap for the session, Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Absolutely. Hey, I know it's not your chamber, but it seems to me like Lauren Book is a much smarter choice for the Democrats as their public image spokesperson rather than Gary Farmer, who, I mean, if the goal is to grow the party, you know, I'm not trying to offer the Democrats successful advice, but she's far more appealing as a representative than he is, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, one, I have the utmost respect for Senator Farmer. I know him personally, and I think he's a good, good man who can kind of work across the aisle. But as a member of that kind of youth movement, it's always good to see younger people in positions to make decisions, because I think we come at it from a slightly different perspective, for sure. And, you know, I ran a bill with Senator Book this year, and I think she's incredible, and I'm excited to see what she gets done in that position.
Yeah, me too. I think it's healthier for the chamber, for not just the Senate, but for the entire legislature. Big stuff happened this year. The largest budget ever passed, right?
By over 10%. This is the first year that we've passed the budget over $100 billion. In large part because of that massive influx of federal cash that's been coming down through COVID-19 stimulus packages. So we have a very large budget, but you know, a lot of that is going to go towards deferred maintenance in schools, expanding different components of healthcare services we provide, especially for pregnant and expecting mothers. And children, we were able to completely overhaul our early learning programs here in Florida. This was a year of incredibly significant restructuring in how our state government works. And I'm just incredibly impressed by how all of it operated this year.
And an expansion of eligibility for school vouchers, pretty significant mm-hmm. reform, consolidation of the scholarship funds, right? I mean, you know, some pretty big changes that we've talked about over the course of the last couple of months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, working in the education silo this year as the whip on policy, it was really fun to play a role in it. I mean, we completely overhauled how our workforce placement systems work in Florida, our career source organizations around the state. We completely restructured how they operate because of, you know, some issues that we've identified for a while. As Speaker Chris Rouse, you know, pointed out that we have more, the federal government has the deep state, we have the kind of commission state. There's a commission for everything that the 30-year-old organizations and boards that we really took a deep look at, and we started to overhaul to make sure that we're actually doing right by everybody who's paying taxes here in Florida.
What's the most significant? Because you mentioned several different things. You, as the education whip, the person who's responsible for gathering the votes and making sure the education agenda passes in the House, what do you think is the one thing that stands out as the education reform slash change that happened this year that maybe people didn't hear a lot about, or even if they did, what's the one that you look at as the, hey, pay attention, this happened this year?
Well, I would say 100%, just a refocusing on how we get people back to work or we upscale their employment. When we passed these two bills, House Bill 1505 and 1507, the Florida House, they largely went through the committee and the Florida House without any debate or opposition, but this was the largest restructuring of our workforce development programs in history. And the Speaker, noticing that, you know, this was kind of flying under the radar, but was a massively significant change, actually gave us all a blueprint of how the structure was changed so that everyone could visualize the significance of what was happening, mainly because we, were able to just get these kind of passed without much opposition this year. So I was glad that he was able to recognize the thousands of hours of staff time that was put into completely overhauling how we get people back to work and get people trained for the jobs of the future.
From the person who's going through that job up leveling or changing, what changes from their perspective?
Well, it's a largely structural change. So these are federal programs that the state administers to these local boards. And there was no chief executive responsible. I mean, we had CEOs of career source programs from other parts of the state come to committee. And when we asked them, hey, how many people did you place in a job this year? They wouldn't have that data.
What?
The fact that there was no central person responsible for performance in these organizations was a critical problem. So restructuring it to where the Department of Economic Opportunity played a much more significant role. The secretary there, Dan Eagle, he was just confirmed by the Senate, making sure that our Department of Education, Department of Economic Opportunity were working hand in hand, had the same information, and everyone was responsible to make sure that people going through these programs knew what they were investing in and knew what they would get out of, participating in them was a big, big deal for us this year.
All right, very good. And just as I know a lot of people were very passionate about this topic, and I just want to button it up for folks, that SB 86 that involved the reform of Bright Futures or changes to Bright Futures, you and I have talked about this numerous times, as you predicted, passed the Senate, got no attention in the House, died and is over at least until next year. And we have fully funded Bright Futures for this year in accordance with state law.
Yes, and I would also note that it came up through that kind of similar theme. We have students who are not being told what to expect if they go and pursue specific degrees. So right. While the intent was good, the execution was not, and it didn't make it through.
Yeah, I would say the execution really was on the other side, the response to this bill. Alex, we are now into May. We are into the final month of the second deadline for which FDOT has given us for expecting the Garcon Point, the Three-Mile Bridge, Pensacola Bay Bridge, to be reopened at least to two lanes. You previously said you think they'll hit Memorial Day. They might even hit earlier, mid-month. As of today, what do you think?
I think that the two lanes on Three Mile Bridge will be open before Memorial Day. Every employee at DOT, the governor's office, they've all been very, very confident that those numbers will be hit, and that people will be back driving on that bridge very soon. And I'm looking forward to that day. Probably more than anyone.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, obviously, I hope that is the case. I've been hoping all along to be wrong in my June or July prediction from the beginning. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, it's kind of one of these things that's gotten a lot of attention and also very little attention at the same time, weirdly, which is the reform of the no-fault insurance law here in Florida for our car insurance. This passed through, which, as I understand it, means that the personal injury protection is going away and we're going to move to a system which is more like other states. I'm much more familiar with the way other states do it than even the Florida system. This makes sense to me. I never liked this no-fault system. Is this or is this not going to lead to higher or lower premiums?
I think for the majority of Floridians, it's going to lead to lower premiums over time. This was a huge deal, but it got zero debate in the Florida House. I was flabbergasted by the complete lack of attention this shift was passed with. Representative Aaron Grawl, she was the one that sponsored it this year. She's been working on this since she was elected. This is her fifth legislative session. I remember her trying to work it on my transportation bill last year, and we were trying to figure out a way to get it done. This is our PIP system in Florida. It was capped at $10,000 in reimbursements that hadn't been increased since the 70s.
It's crazy.
$10,000 in the 70s was worth far more than it is today. And actually, creating a more honest, direct system was something that was important to us that will hopefully, because we're going to match up with more states around the country, we'll bring more insurance providers into the market. and increase competition and hopefully over time drive down costs and increase value. So I was excited about that shift, and I was just more stunned by the complete lack of attention it was given as it was passed through the House.
Yeah, I think you had Jeff Brandis brought it up for about 3 minutes in the Senate or 5 minutes in the Senate. I mean, honestly, there was more discussion about the cleaning of the roof of the Department of Education building in the House than there was about eliminating this longstanding, decades-old, stupid system of no-fault insurance in Florida that, you know, fraud is an issue, coverage, adequate coverage for people. I mean, all these things are issues. So, it's interesting what things catch people's attention and what things don't catch their attention about. Very good. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Alex, I know it's an inconvenience to go over to Tallahassee all the time and do the service. We know you put in good work and lots of hours. I appreciate the service, and I certainly appreciate the time that you spend helping us understand what's going on during session. So thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.